All right. I promise I'm going to get into this, and I'm going to get into it. What am I talking about when I say that a government that oppresses one group of people does that because they were already oppressing everybody? As I'm over here, I've been in Taiwan. I've talked about this several times. I've got a petition that not many people have signed. Some of you have, thank you. You know, it was on change.org. I've dealt with oppression from Taiwan's government. And as I look at this, I see that government in Taiwan oppresses their own people. Now, my specific example, I'm an American. I'm a native English speaker. I have a bachelor's degree. I have studied language. I know language. I've got a million words on Amazon. I'm proficient in English. I've got a background in education, in experience. My father was a teacher. He said, if you go into education, I'll disown you, as a kind of a joke, because there's a lot of politics involved in education. It's no good. You try to do the work, and then the bureaucrats who don't know what they're doing always get in your way. The movie Lean on Me, Joe Clark. Oh man, he was up against a bureaucracy. They want the results, but then they're going to punish the guy that's getting them. It's utter incompetence. People in charge always seem to end up incompetent. I wonder why. Maybe it's because they got promoted because of their friends in the Rotary or the JCs or whatever. As I'm in Taiwan, I'm trying to work as an ESL teacher. But as soon as I get here, the Taiwanese boss starts to assert things over me, boss me around, try to take my papers, tries to oppress me, tries to snare me and trap me into types of contracts, tries to bully me and boss me around, disturbs me at home when I'm off hours, thinks that I'm his personal slave 24 hours a day. Now, I'm a foreigner with no rights. I can't work just anywhere. I've got to have this complicated set of paperwork in order to be able to work in one place. Taiwanese are maybe able to quit and go run away. If they lose their papers, they go to the government. Government knows them. They get new papers. If there's a problem, they run home and live with mom and dad. I'm a foreigner. I can't do any of that. It's really easy to destroy my life as the foreigner in Taiwan. But the reason that the Taiwanese boss hurts me as the foreigner so much is because the Taiwanese bosses do that and hurt everybody the same way. It's just that I'm weaker and the results hurt more. So if Taiwan wants to be nicer to their foreigners, they have to be nicer to their own people. Now, this has major carryover for dealing with the black and white America issues. I don't know what. I just want you to know what I've seen. Are there ways in which America's government hurts black people because they do the same thing to white people and it's kind of inconvenient to white people, but it really hurts black people, but they shouldn't be doing it at all? Is there stuff like that? I mean, we're on a rotten egg hunt. We're trying to find, it's not an Easter egg hunt. We're trying to find the rotten eggs stinking up the place and you don't know where they are. Maybe there's some rotten eggs in there. Maybe there's something that really hurts a lot of black people that we don't know about, but it's only some little inconvenience that white people all know about, but don't care much about because it's not a big enough deal. Maybe if white people wouldn't tolerate their government oppressing them, then that would get rid of a lot of the injustices that happen to black people. Maybe. And white people just need to care more and be less tolerant of rogue government. Maybe. You know, Edward Snowden probably did a lot to help black people. I'm not trying to excuse anybody. I'm not trying to say the thing's done. I'm trying to talk about how there's a comprehensive problem here. When Edward Snowden exposed the utter lawlessness inside America's government, I mean, he was basically the plumber that was being asked to do plumbing work inside the top secret room with all the top secret material up on the screen while they were discussing the top secret material, and he wasn't cleared for top secret security clearance. And he's like, I'm not supposed to hear this or see this. I'm just a plumber and I'm not security cleared for it. Shut up and do your work. And that was the NSA's basic response to him because he was a kid. And what do kids know? He's only 29. We're baby boomers. We know everything. And Edward Snowden, they didn't listen to him. And then he went and told the world in Hong Kong. The South China Morning Post did the interview. Other newspapers said he was crazy and not important. Because when you've got a problem, nobody listens to you. Don't black people know? Don't I know as an American in Taiwan? And Edward Snowden exposed this mess going on. And America's government had to clean up. I'm purely curious. I'm not claiming any accomplishment. I'm curious how much oppression from America's government inconvenienced white people and hurt black people more that went away because of Snowden. I'm just curious. We've got to think of ourselves as a family. What's inconvenient for me could be death to that other guy. And there's no way that I can stop the death to that other guy unless I care about the inconvenience for me. It's the same thing. Sometimes. And we got to stop making excuses. Well, I don't really see that big of a problem. No, no, no. If they're doing this little thing to you, what are they doing to other people? Don't let them do that to anyone. Defend yourself in the small matters. Because there's other people that are suffering more from the same thing. It's not just about you. I hope you hear what I'm saying on this. Because I'm talking new ideas. And we have this tendency to only say things we've already heard and only like things that we've already said. And I'm Jesse Steele. I'm all about new ideas. I don't want to say ideas you're going to hear from someone else. That's why I do what I do. If I say the same thing as everybody else, then why bother listening to me? That's hopefully why you're here. That's why you enjoy listening to me and think I'm not a waste of your time. We've got to have new ideas that sound strange. And I think that that's one of them. Now, another example of what I'm seeing over here in Taiwan, just as an example from what I've seen. As I'm trying to find more ESL jobs in Taiwan, I've found that Taiwan's government persecutes small businesses. See, Taiwanese children have this enormous pressure. They're losers and go to the bad college if they don't do well on their tests. How do you know a college is bad? Because the government in Taiwan picks and chooses the winners and losers of colleges. The colleges are good and bad in Taiwan because of the money Taiwan's government gives to them. They decide in Taiwan's government and say, we shall choose to make this the top school because we said so, and we will do that by giving them more money. It's the schools in Taiwan are not ranked because of some third party that investigated them and looked at how good they are at what they're doing. Schools are ranked higher and lower because Taiwan's government chooses them to be that way by giving more money to these guys and less money to those guys. And that's how it's amazing. And they actually do that. And America is being friends with this country without expecting them to knock it off. Well, guess what? They wanted me over here because I was a cute little foreigner. I was the freak in the circus. So they could learn English. Well, guess what? I saw what's going on. So there's all this pressure to get the test or else you get persecuted by the government's choice. And so children, if they don't do well on the test, they get beaten up. Their parents will beat them with sticks. Now, not always and physical discipline, if it's not permanent, has its place, but there's too much obsession over the test. I was in the school teaching English one day. I'm going to end up going long today. I was in the school teaching English one day earlier on at a Sesame Street school. Yeah, franchise the characters and the content, but not expect any of the common sense. Right, and you know who owns Sesame Street? America's government. That's PBS. That's public broadcasting. So I'm there at this Sesame Street school. A mother and her daughter come in both crying. The daughter's like, 9 or 10, both crying their eyes out. And I asked one of my other teachers, a Taiwanese girl, great, great teacher. I said, why is an adult and her daughter both crying? She said, because her daughter didn't do well on her test in school. I said, well, let's help. How bad did she do? She said she only got 98%. I said, what? That's good. No, her mother's a teacher. That means she should get 100%. And then I looked at the mother and the girl crying. like they'd lost their homes and family, and their entire family had died. They'd lost their home. They're going to live on the street. They were crying that much over this test score. That's the academic weirdness and pressure that the Taiwanese are under. And a lot of that oppression comes because they believe in oppressive institutions. They worship academic education. So I go to America and I hear people saying, we need college for everyone. I'm going, maybe formal education is not the best way to learn. There are other types of education that might be better and preferable, and people aren't going to get those better ways because we've decided that only college is the thing that matters. I'm telling you, as a white guy graduate from college, college does not matter if you want a job. Okay, look, you're black. You want to get money for college. Good luck with that. But I'm not saying it's going to work out. That's why I'm doing my own computer teaching. And I've got other teachings that I've got that I'm trying to, I've got life coaching thing that I'm working on. It's just videos you watch. You don't pay me to do time with you unless that's another thing. But I've just got like some life smarts videos. I'm working on an English curriculum. I've got stuff I'm doing trying to put out there that I want outside of college because I'm not sure that college is the only way to help. I'm kind of ranting here, but follow me on this. You know, last few days, I kept saying that some people know what we need to talk about. Other people know how to actually do it. And the people who know how don't want to listen to what. No, I'm just going to do this. No, there's other issues we got to be dealing with. No, we don't. Okay, I'll do it myself. They do a bad job because they know what, but they don't know how. We need each other. The how people need to listen to what else we should be doing. The what people who know what to do should be listening to the people who know how to do it. We need each other. We've got right-handed, left-handed people. We need each other. And I'm telling you, maybe college is not the best way to get education into people. And Taiwan oppresses their own people because they've got this overinflated view of the formal education system, and it oppresses people. You got to sit there and shut your face. You ask a question that's insubordination. The teacher's talking. He talks, you parrot back. That's learning. It's called Confucianism. It's an oppressive social philosophy that Christian pastor teachers in America say, don't try to change it if you deal with anyone of a Chinese background. See, why is it that white Christian America hasn't dealt with the racist issues? Because white Christian pastor teachers haven't told us to deal with the oppression issues when we run into them with the Chinese. If the seminaries, the Bible schools are not telling pastors to confront the anti-biblical oppressive systems when they go talk to the Chinese, yes, you have to apologize and be forgiven.
Well, the Chinese pastor doesn't understand that.
Well, tell him he's got to or break fellowship.
No, we don't want to lose them.
You already have lost them. If we don't take that approach with the Chinese, we're not going to take that approach when it comes to dealing with the black-white issues in our own history. It's all the same thing. There is no peeing section in the swimming pool. You do it here, you do it everywhere. And we tolerate it here, and then we're surprised that it's over there. We've got to allow it nowhere. You don't allow just a few mosquitoes to live in your house. They're all gone, or the whole house is going to be full of them. It's one or the other. So I'm over here with this oppressive academic system in Taiwan, and I look around, and all these kids have this pressure. The only way they're going to learn good English is if they can get around an American or a British person, someone from the British Commonwealth, they can get around a native English speaker and talk to that teacher. But guess what? Taiwan's government doesn't let smaller schools have a foreigner as a native teacher, because you've got to be a big company or else you aren't allowed to hire a foreigner, because foreigners have to have the right papers. And we've got to protect Taiwan jobs because we've got to make sure those Taiwanese can take the job that only an American can have. That makes no sense. But Taiwan's government hurts their own people. They won't let a small English school, a small ESL school in Taiwan, hire a foreigner. I don't know. Have I lost you? Here I am talking about the oppressive systems in the world. Have I lost you? I'm worried that I might have. This is a we're going to solve our problems. We've got to listen to people. Taiwan's government will not let small English schools hire foreigners because they're too small. The solution would be to give ESL teachers a license. The English teacher comes to Taiwan, ESL teacher. They give them a sniff down. They give them a little test. Yep, you're a good ESL teacher. Go teach anywhere you can. Please help our people. They don't do that. They don't know how to do it. They think that having good English scores is about raising standards, aka everyone's got to be at least this good or you can't learn. You've got to have the tests of a 10th grader or you're not allowed to go to kindergarten. They call that raising standards. No. We need to be fair and do things the right way in the how, not only in the what. And not ignore the what, because Taiwanese think this isn't a good issue to talk about. They don't think that it matters. It's inconvenient for them. They don't know how it hurts others. So yeah, I as an ESL teacher have suffered persecution in Taiwan systemically because Taiwan doesn't care enough about their own people to do a good job in the how. And they think that the what doesn't matter because it's just a little inconvenience for them. And here I am an American and I'm watching and I'm not happy. Yet they want to make America their friend. I'm still willing. But I'm telling you right now, when people in America talk about the problem between black and white people, I'm telling you, people aren't, they're not blowing smoke. There are problems there that we don't see. There are problems there that we don't see. And it's not just America, it's everywhere. And I'll tell you right now, America is not going to be able to deal with its racial brokenness in its past if they don't expect the same thing from their allies. America's government can't turn a blind eye to systemic oppression going on inside Taiwan and then turn around and actually deal with the prejudicial problems in their own country. They've got to say no. PBS is an American publicly government-funded institution. Sesame Street's part of that. You want Sesame Street? You're going to treat your own people well and you're going to be smart and you're going to make sure that you license your teachers so that they can teach anywhere they can, help any of your people they can. Otherwise, you're oppressing both people and all you're doing is making everybody mad. I hope that that gives some sort of an idea for how things work. I'm telling my story. Maybe that's useful in you understanding other people's or expressing your own. See you next week.